If you're looking for some new heavy music, well, you've come to the right place. In just a few moments, Tricord is going to be joining us to talk about their new song entitled Fix Me. I have the guys from Tricord on with me. Guys, new song. Introduce it to us. Cue it up.
Fix Me is a song that was it was birthed during like a battle of depression, during a broken relationship that I went through. It describes a traumatic experience stemming from a dark place in a person's mind or life. Sometimes all we have to do is get to a place to realize that the only thing we can do is cry out and say, God, please fix me. That's how the song really came about.
And this is Fix Me by Tricord. That gentleman is what I call fine metal craftsmanship.
Appreciate that.
That is very, very well done. And really, I believe that one of the reasons probably why this is so good is because it is something that was birthed from the heart, is what Corey was talking about just a few minutes ago. This is just isn't a song about, hey, let's write a song. It's birthed from real experience that Corey, you experienced, correct?
Yes, sir, I did. I did.
And did you write the lyrics, all the lyrics to this song?
I did. I sure did. It was something I went through, and then I felt like, you know, I need to write. I have the lyrics in mind. I need to write about this. It's more of like when you go to that step, you know, God fix me. It's more of like a prayer that you're saying, you know, fix me, Lord, make me new. I need you to help me. It's kind of like a prayer song that I want to do, but I wanted it to, you know, I wanted it to, you know, for the meaning of it, the depression and the whatever somebody's going through, you know, whether it's depression or whether it's sickness, anything, you know, I wanted them to mean a lot to them.
It's a very profound song, and that's exactly what I hear in the song. And everybody else that's Jermaine and Rob and Charles, a.k.a. Strings, you can weigh in on this as well. But when I heard it, I heard the track, I listened to it, I was like, okay, this is a cry of brokenness is what I hear in the song. And that's probably what you were experiencing, Corey. And just so that our viewers and our listeners understand, we may have some people that are watching and listening that have never experienced the healing power of Jesus or being set free or being healed in the heart. What are some of the specific areas that you're addressing in the song that Jesus can help fix in a person's life?
Well, the main thing that I can say in this is basically having faith that God can do it. Because like I say, faith, if you don't have faith, I believe that, you know, without faith, your works is dead. And if when you have faith, God will transform, whether you see it or not. It could be unseen, but, you know, you have faith whether it happens right then or happens, you know, month, a year or two down the road. As long as you have that faith, I feel like God can heal you. God can change your life drastically. And I believe that. And that's kind of where once I told God, hey, I got on my knees and said, hey, God, fix me, make me new. You know, ever since I've done that, if I wouldn't have done that, then God wouldn't have took that and made me to who I am today.
I was preparing for today, and Jermaine knows that I do this, and Rob from Crimson Overtone knows that I do this, and Charles, you probably know that I do this too, but before every edition, I dive into the Word. After I listen to a song, I'm like, God, what are you showing? What are you displaying here? And God took me this morning to Psalm 147, verses 1 through 3. And Corey, this is what I see specifically for you, and I did not know this would apply specifically to you. Make this your psalm, Corey. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And that's exactly what you've done in this song. God fixed you. God bound up your wounds. And, you know, all of us that are in the rock and the metal community, the church oftentimes considers us the outcasts. And God is bringing them together. And that's what you're doing, is you're singing this song because God has healed you. You've released a brand new song unto Him. And may this song touch many people who consider themselves to be the outcast. Because I did a little bit of research on who the outcasts were when this psalm was written. It was the eunuchs and were the foreigners that were forbidden to actually enter into the temple. And a lot of times that's the way people see those of us that are in the rock and metal community, as the ones who cannot enter in. But God is building Jerusalem and gathering together. And I believe that this song is going to be used, Corey, to help bring those people to a realization that Jesus can fix them, can heal them, so that He can build His church. I had no idea that was going to be specifically for you, and how this song came about. It's just what I heard in the song. So be encouraged. And that is so exciting that you shared your testimony of healing through this particular song. I want to ask a very specific question. It's a practical discipleship question, and I'd like to get everybody's opinion on this. And if you're watching, thank you for those that are watching right now. You can weigh in as well. A lot of times when people put their faith in Jesus, that time when they cry out for salvation, they're not instantly healed. They're not instantly freed from an addiction. Sometimes it takes some time. Why do you think sometimes it takes time to be completely healed and freed? Opinions.
I'll go on this one first, I guess. So I think it's simply because of lack of discipleship. And I believe that the Westernized church, the American church, those who have the Westernized culture of the church, I think the thing that we lack the greatest in our day and age is discipleship. And I believe that if we are, a lot of times when we hear a message of salvation or the gospel, we just hear an almost cookie cutter version of it. And we hear the gentle Jesus, the sweet little lamb Jesus, and we don't hear the war Jesus and the hey, we got to fight every day now kind of Jesus. We don't hear about that. And I think that plays a part in our mentality of stuff. And honestly, we can even go to the parable about the sower, the farmer and the sower, and it's being sown into different types of soil. And I believe that we can be planted in good soil if we're properly discipled. Mm. And lack of discipleship allows us to be planted in the other types of soils, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the weedy soil, that's mentioned in that parable. I would say, though, a lot of times we don't really talk. A lot of people aren't set free in instantly. Some people are radically set free the moment they're saved. Some are. Yeah. And that's great for those people. I don't know why Jesus radically saves those people. Changes those people's heart instantly and not everybody. But I do know that for some people, we have to go through a deliverance and healing process. And it's mm-hmm. all a part of surrender. Really, honestly, it's surrender. The more we understand, you know, traumas or family curses and things of that nature, are the more that we allow ourselves to, you know, give it to God and to be healed. Just like personally for me, I've been walking with the Lord wholeheartedly, on fire, never stopping since 2011 or 2012. And I would say that in all those years, in the last probably year or two, I have really, really honed in and focused on releasing those things so that God can heal me in certain areas so that I don't have to struggle with reoccurring thoughts and imaginations. And I'm learning to take captive because I'm properly being discipled in those areas through the Word of God and through mentors and stuff like that to help me overcome struggles that I've had.
That's a very good point. And Poetic Angel, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the live stream tonight. If you've got any thoughts on why people aren't instantly released from addiction or healed at the time that they're saved, please weigh in. And we got Glenn Huff Huff. Thank you for weighing in. God bless you all, gentlemen. Thank you for watching this evening. Thank you for joining the live stream. We've got a lot of deep conversation going on here. It's heavy conversation over a heavy song. It's actually Tricord's heaviest song to date. And we're going to talk more about the structure of the song in a few minutes. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that before I put my two cents in?
Well, I think...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you have seniority. You've been in Tricord longer than I have. Okay. Unless you're older, I have to respect my elders, so go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
We'll go with that. All right. Well, I think like it's kind of like we have walls built up and we don't completely release everything in the moment of salvation or whatever. It's like the fire's been kindled and sparked off in our heart, and we feel it in that moment. But if we don't do anything, like Jermaine was saying, discipleship, you know, fellowship, having somebody to lean on to be able to strengthen us or whatever, then the spark dies, the fire goes out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to knock down walls by yourself. You have to release it completely and solely. And me personally, I've struggled with many issues and habits, addictions and stuff like that. I've kicked some and I still have some that I just haven't released yet. It's all a growing process, where you are in your walk, who you surround yourself with. It's better to have a good group of people around you that will build you up than to be lost out in the world being torn down by everybody else.
Yeah. 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 I totally agree. Rob, go ahead.
It's putting it simply, it's a lack of faith. Just because you believe that Yeshua is the Christ and, you know, he's, you know, the Lord of all and all this other stuff does not mean that you've done what the scripture talks about when it says, when it gives that analogy of emptying out rooms and then refilling it. You know, people maybe in that moment, just going off of, you know, what Jermaine says, some people might get some divine healing in the moment of becoming a believer, but a lot of those new believers and a lot of even modern day, you know, quote unquote Christians don't actually pay attention to that scripture that says, hey, after stuff comes out, you got to fill it back in. And that's not something that just happens automatically. It's something you have to ask for. And so even the believers that do get, you know, delivered or healed from stuff, you know, right the very second that they become believers in Christ, oftentimes, you know, like what the script, like what that scripture says, those demons will come back with all of his friends and make things even worse, which is another reason why a lot of new Christians quickly turn away from the church, because all of a sudden they're being attacked harder than they've ever been attacked before.
Yeah.
And their church and their, you know, the ministry around them isn't doing their job properly. And so it's like I said, simply put, it's a lack of faith. You have to, the scripture black and white says what it says. You either do it and be successful or don't do it. And then you're going to have what Jermaine was saying, a lot of issues with the modern Christian church, where just things aren't being fulfilled the way that people expect because of lack of faith and lack of following direction.
Yeah. Wow. We opened up. Go ahead. What's that?
Can I piggyback off of that? Even going a little further than that, I believe that I don't think any of us completely, unless like we really, really, really spend time in the scripture and spend time in prayer and just in growth in our relationship with the Lord. I think the understanding of fully denying ourselves, when Jesus told them that they must deny themselves and take up their cross, to deny oneself is to completely forsake everything that has to do with us. Every hurt, every imagination, every desire, every pleasure, every want, every dream, everything. And and we're not properly taught that. I'm just recently learning what it truly means to deny myself in this season that I'm in. And like I said, I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and even still, I'm just now learning what it truly means when Jesus said to deny myself. And by learning how to deny myself, it's also helping me to learn how to walk in deliverance and freedom each and every day, and to walk according to the will of God. Exactly. But yeah, sorry.
Wow. We have opened up, and I appreciate all the comments that are coming in. We'll take some more coming in here. Holy Spirit's leading us in a very interesting direction tonight. We're going to roll with it right now. Corey, I mean, just your faithfulness and obedience to release this song, the conversation and the fruit that people are going to gather from this. We're starting to see it already. Poetic Angel says, totally agree. It's a lack of faith, discipline, and discipleship. Having a core group of faith-based individuals is essential. I learned that the hard way. And I think we've all learned that the hard way. And
oh, yeah.
Deb, My wife, who is down the hall from the studio right now, says, I agree that lack of discipleship is huge. And just what you said, Jermaine, also, we have to continually crucify our flesh that never stops. And then we've got our good friend, Darth Plummer. We love Darth Plummer. I'm here, but might have to leave soon. Don't leave too soon, but remember, you can always catch us on the replay. I have had addictions that I was healed of instantly, but some I've had to battle for years. So there we have some things that go automatically and some things that have to be worked through as what we were talking about. And then going back, I think we're talking about this a little bit with Divine Martyr last week. About that discipline and discipleship. The Lord is always faithful, but some things only go with prayer and fasting. That denying of the flesh, the crucifying of the flesh, it's only going to go that way. This is so important to realize that, and I like it. I think it was you, Charles, that was talking about that spark, and Rob, you were saying at the same time, we put that faith in Jesus to save us. You know, that's all we need to know at that point in time is that I'm a sinner, I'm undone, and if I don't repent, I'm going to go to hell, and I need Jesus to save me. That's what salvation is. And sometimes people are instantly released from everything at that point in time, but other times it takes time to, and let me explain it in my own life. The more I spend in time in fellowship with the Lord, the more I spend in time with fellowship with other believers, and the more time I spend in the Word, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was that bad.
Right.
The deeper you go in to the holiness of God, the more you realize. And the same thing really actually happened to the Apostle Paul as well, because when you read his early epistles, you see the change. He starts off by writing in the early epistles, I, Paul, the greatest of the apostles. And then, you know, as we get further into the epistles, he's like, yes, I am the least of the servants of Christ, basically, is what he says. So we see this difference in heart attitude. And sometimes it takes time to release all those things. And I just want to add on one other thing before we dive into the song a little bit more and some more scripture here. I received a very interesting article today from an individual who has watched the video that we did on Disturbed. And he sent me a very good article on the power of the church and the condition of the church. And one of the things that he said is that in Western Christianity, a lot of times we're not used to seeing people instantly released. It's our lack of faith in seeing people instantly released from some things. And he said, what it comes down to is we are not preaching the word a lot of times in power. We're giving the cookie cutter gospel, what you were just talking about, Jermaine. So I think there's a whole lot of things. I don't think there's just one reason. All of these, I think, are 100% on as to why we don't see people instantly set free all the time. Some of the times it has to do with just giving the cookie cutter gospel. It has to do with our faith, our lack of desire to crucify the flesh, and the lack of discipleship is huge. So very important points. You know, as you guys were writing this song, Fix Me, were there any instances of men or women in scripture that came to mind as you were writing this song that had a similar heart cry or maybe were in a similar circumstance? And Corey, I'm going to start with you on that, and then we'll go around the horn. Could you relate to anybody in the Bible when you wrote that song?
Yeah, well. There's a lady, the woman with the issue of blood. It was a different circumstance, but I feel like at the same time, you know, she was crying out to God. You know, she was tired of the issues she was having, you know, and I feel like, you know, she was tired asking God, why, just like I was, you know, why ain't I healed? You know, why can't nobody find anything wrong with me? Why can't anybody find a cure for me? And then, like it said, you know, she found Jesus, and all it took was, you know, having that faith to touch the garment. So as soon as she touched the garment, it was more of like, God asked, who touched me? You know, and so I feel like with her faith and her crying out, God was there when she needed God the most. And all she done was crawl. She might not even walk. She could have crawled or whatever, but she touched the hem of the garment. And so that's the one that sticks out most to me.
Yeah. And she was an outcast of Israel at the time that she did that. It was not even her time yet for that. And Jesus even mentioned that, but it was because of her faith that he, healed her, and he felt the virtue flow out from his garments. And it says here, it's like what I tell my Bible study class. We can look at God's blueprint all the time, but until we comprehend what he's telling us, we won't understand. It's being in the word. It's that faith. And Corey, I'm very encouraged by your faith in the release of this song this evening. Any others, while you're working on the song, any instances in scripture that came to your mind of people that had a similar cry?
Yeah. She's on the retreat. She's trying to let me know that she made it. sorry, I got distracted. Yes. What Corey said, definitely that woman as well. But I mean, we see it with Joseph when he was in prison falsely. And we see it with Peter. We see it with. Why are you? See it with Peter. We see it with Job for sure. Yeah. And I think the reason that these people specifically, I don't know, stick out to me, and there are plenty of others, I'm sure, but those mainly that came to mind when I was looking through your questions was because they all, not only did they cry out, but they were all persevering in their faith, right? So just going back to what we were even just talking about in the previous question about having faith, keep going. Don't just have this cookie cutter thing. Even talking about, like, you know, it's not just, you know, this soft, like it's not this cookie cutter gospel. It's not this thing. I like to tell people that the scripture is a battle plan, right? It's the Lord's instruction on how to fight the war that we're in. And so, these people that I just mentioned, the people from the scripture that are doing the same thing that Corey was doing when he wrote these lyrics, were not just crying out to the Lord, but like even take David for example, right? He would cry out and say, oh, this is what's going on, help me, help me. But then at the very end of so many of the Psalms, he's like, but I am, you know, content. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. You know, all these things where he's staying faithful, where he's letting the Lord know, like, hey, this sucks, but thank you so much for everything that you have given me. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for my life and all that. You know, thank you for giving me victory over this or over that. And so just staying persevered, staying in the perseverance of our faith is, I think, needs to be there when asking for that fix me prayer. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. You know, it's one thing, and you mentioned David, and I've been reading a lot about David lately in the mornings when I study scripture, and I was reading that point where he was encompassed by Saul's army, and Saul's army was coming in to capture him, and David, without question, I can guarantee you, he was scared. There's no question about it. But Jonathan had come to him earlier and said, hey, the Lord's going to strengthen your hand and you will be king of Israel and I will be next to you the whole time. And it's very easy. I was thinking it's very easy to believe God when we see or have some idea of how the deliverance is going to come. But when we don't see how the deliverance is going to come, that takes that extra step of faith of what you're talking about, Rob. We have to believe the battle plan that is outlined in scripture. And when you take a look at the Old Testament, it gives all the battle plans of how we deal with the enemy. And David, he could have rose up. I mean, man, he was a mighty warrior. He could have fought against Saul, but he didn't. He let the Lord fight his battles for him instead of going and smiting Saul and his army. He depended upon the Lord to do that. He depended upon the Lord's instruction. And I think, you know, we're talking about the cookie cutter gospel, but there's the bill of goods that unfortunately the Western church sells people that, hey, if you get saved, life is going to be awesome. You know, you're going to get the dream car, dream job, trophy husband, trophy wife. It's going to be, you know, that's the way it's going to go. But you look at everybody in scripture that was called of God, that had an anointing on their life, they were put through those trials where they had to be broken. And really, brokenness is part of God's plan for your life. That's really what it comes down to. If you've been saved and if you desire to pursue Jesus and pursue and persevere, as Rob was just talking about there, you will be broken, because it's when you're broken, that's when God can begin to use you. Brokenness is the beginning of usefulness, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah, that's my soapbox. Soapbox on that one. It is the year 2024, and this song I feel is very relevant for the time that we're living in right now. Why would you say that this song, Fix Me, is very appropriate for the time that we're living in, maybe as opposed to a different era, let's say like maybe 1954 or 1984 when I was in the heyday of my youth? What makes this song so applicable to the world that we live in today?
I think it's applicable because we have a huge identity crisis in this day and age, man. And just a lot of mental struggles. A lot of people deal with anxiety and all different types of stresses and depression and suicides at an all-time high. People are trying to tell God that he's a liar and a mistake, making them a mistake by them not being the proper gender. And it's just such a huge identity battle, man. If you look at scripture and look at from the very, very beginning, the tactic of the enemy has never changed. It's been the same exact thing. If you look at the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, the cool part about Adam and Eve to me was, first off, God said we would create them in our image. And then he literally would come and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. So if you remember in Exodus when Moses was on the mountain and he asked God to, you know, show him his face and stuff, and just the glimmer of the cheekbone of God was shown or whatever, when Moses came down off the mountain, he had a glow. He was glowing. And so think about Adam and Eve. They literally were glowing with the glory of God. That's why they didn't know they were naked and stuff. They were just shone with the glory of God. They were like God. So the identity part came in when the enemy said, if you eat this, then you'll be like God. He disrupted their whole entire identity. He disrupted the whole entire, they were already like him. They didn't eat. Humans were created already like God in the image of him with the light and the glory of God already wrapped and cloaked around them. There was no need for us to be like God. In essence, but he tricked them by making them question their identity. And that's the same exact tactic that he's doing right now, is he's tricking people to make them question their identity, and which is causing a lot of confusion inside of people. And that confusion is causing people to be depressed, to cause people to be suicidal, to cause people to deal with anxiety, to cause people to deal with all these other things that they're dealing with. And so Fix Me, I guess, in essence, is a far cry for saying, you know, Lord, fix me, straighten me out, help me out here. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go or how to be or anything like that without your guidance.
That is extremely, extremely profound. And I'm thinking here, as you're saying that, Jermaine, that heart cry to fix me is really, God, let me be who you made me to be.
That's right.
Because we have all of these images in our mind of what society's told us we need to be. We've had these images in our mind of what our parents and our family told us to be, our friends, and what everybody expects us to be. But we have to be what God has called us to be. And this applies to the church as a whole, because when you say the word Christian or believer to a lot of people, the first thing, to somebody who's not saved, a lot of times the first thing that comes into their mind is Ned Flanders. And unfortunately, when a lot of people are saved, they think they have to like act like Ned Flanders from The Simpsons. But they get that idea from the media. And the media has been trying to train Christians. The media has been emasculating Christians and defacing the image of God. And it's time for us to all cry out to God, fix me, take away all the junk that I was told that I'm probably going to be shadow banned now for that, but that's okay. Take away all this junk from my mind and my heart that I was told that I thought I needed to be or that I am, and show me who I really am. Wow, that is profound. And, you know, Jermaine, even in thinking about that, in partaking of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, I think that really opens up a whole lot of supernatural knowledge that was involved in that. It's like, why would you want to do that when God was, when God was sharing with you all the secrets anyway in the cool of the evening?
That's right.
You were going to get all the goods anyway. You know, there's mysteries, man. There's mysteries. And Deb says, yes, God does not make mistakes. And for anybody who's watching or listening that thinks you're a mistake, you are not. You are not a mistake. God is a very purposeful God. You did not emerge from the primordial soup as an amoeba. You're not here by chance. Nothing is by chance. God created you for this time and this season. And as we were talking about last week, you were made for a time such as this. This is your time. Cry out to God. Even if you're not saved, ask God to fix you. He'll show up. Do it in honesty. He'll show up. He will. Any other thoughts on why this song is relevant today in 2024? Kind of quiet, but that's okay.
I'm going to go a sort of different route.
Well, sure.
It ties with Jermaine, but if you look at the world today than what it used to be, things drastically change. I mean, you have people that, I mean, you have, look at these parades people had, the demonic parades, the just all kind of stuff, you know, that you see now. The enemy's trying to turn people, they're trying to blind people to see, oh, is demonic really the reality when it's not? But that's when we're supposed to come in as human beings and faithful members that we are, and that we have to change that. We have as us being Christ-like, we have to go into the world ourselves, and you know, remind people, hey, this is not what this is about. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about the demonic parade, demonic entities that you see or have. It's not all about that. That's what I think about that.
Yeah. Wow, Corey, I really like what you're saying there, especially about all these demonic things that are going on, and we have to go to those places. We have to go to those places so that the gospel can be shared, so that people can see the example, so they can see the living testimony of somebody who's been healed. And it reminds me of when Jesus and the disciples went to the tomb of the Gadarene where the demoniac was. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking when Jesus was taking them there? I mean, that is not, you know, small stuff. This guy was he was possessed by legion. I mean, thousands of demons, and he had strength that was just superhuman. I mean, this guy was literally off the chain. That's where Jesus took him to set the man free, and that's where we need to go. We need to get out of this mentality, Corey. I agree with you in what you're saying about going to these places. We need to get out of this mentality of, oh, if I go there, I'm just going to get soiled, and you know, Jesus might be afraid of this place. Jesus ain't afraid of any of that stuff.
No, that's right.
He ain't afraid of any of that stuff, and we have to go ye into all the world. And Poetic Angel says, it's funny you said that. I was in a mental fog without even knowing it. After hearing Fix Me, God made sure I was put back together. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Listen to Fix Me. Put it on autoplay all day on Spotify or your favorite streaming platform. Got to do a plug for you while we're at it. But no, and that's the power of music. God gave us music. And music that glorifies him so that we can get our heads straight, so that we get things cleared up again. Music drives away devils. It drives away the brain fog. And brain fog, I have learned, and every once in a while I experience, and sometimes I experience when I'm on air, it means that there is some witchcraft being used against you when you go into a brain fog. And when you listen to music and when you get into the word, that stuff clears up. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It means that the enemy is working against you and doesn't want you focused on living in the moment. So be encouraged, Poetic Angel. God's going to use you and wants to use you, and the enemy wants to fog the fog of war, the confusion. Who's the author of confusion and brain fog? The devil. That's simple. It's that simple. You know, and I also have to agree, and Corey, you hit the nail on the head. Man, you are on fire tonight, brother. Tony Marks. Hey, welcome to the show, Tony. Thank you for joining us this evening. I love the participation we've got tonight. the world is a lot messier than it was in 1954 and 1984.
That's right.
people really did, you know, 1954 was Leave It to Beaver time, and people really wouldn't admit that they were messed up or feel that they were messed up. We're not dealing with the levels and the degrees of suicide that Jermaine was talking about. We were not dealing with the degree of mental illness that we're dealing with today, or levels of addiction that we deal with today. And this song, through these vessels known as Tricord, called Fix Me, addresses these issues for this day and this time that we're living in. Now, I have to ask this question. Let's talk about the music structure a little bit. This is the heaviest Tricord song ever released. Now, I know you added Rob to the team, and that's a contributing factor to the heaviness of the song. But how does the heaviness, you know, really align with the message of the song? Why do this in such a heavy tone?
Oh, good.
There you go, Charles. Okay,
so, y'all better talk.
Yeah, I'm actually working tonight. I'm here. Anyways, I think with what we were trying to do with our sound is actually find our sound. Anybody who's listened to Into the Storm or our cover of Drown, like they kind of got something from here, there, and everywhere. It was just a whole, like, a potluck of songs. Well, as time has progressed and we've become to play with each other more and fill each other out and playing with other heavier bands, it was almost like being on a metal tour as the Backstreet Boys. So we decided we had to do something about it. And as we went into writing newer material, we knew we had to beef it up a little bit. So we kind of changed our directions and became more of the rap core new metal sound. But as far as Fix Me being heavier, it's a very deep song. Most of us watched what Corey went through during the time that gave him the inspiration to write the lyrics. It's almost like Job. You watch somebody lose everything and they still reach out. It is a very powerful song. It's got a lot of deep meaning. I believe it can speak volumes to people from all different types of walks of life. It already has. We've heard about it since we first started playing the song before even releasing it as a single. The heaviness was just something that kind of happened. We had it in our minds. We were going to start writing heavier material. And then one day we were just having practice, and like all other great bangers happen, somebody starts noodling, and bam, there's the inspiration. There's the inspiration to write a full song, and that's kind of what we did. We took bits and pieces from, you know, my guitar riffs and then Corey's lyrics and Jermaine stirring the pot, and I sure wish Rob was on it, but he's definitely going to be on the next one that y'all aren't even ready for. So anyways, it's our heaviest song to date. We'll put it that way.
Yes, it is. It is. And our friends, your label mates from Resurrection Records, Becoming Sun, says Backstreet Boys. LOL, Backstreet's back, baby. Tony Marks, thank you for joining us tonight. And Tony says, people are comfortable in their sin and proud of it. That is so true. When we become broken, we're no longer proud of the sin. That's my commentary on that. We cannot defeat the demons we are still entertaining if we're still proud and comfortable in our sin. That is powerful. Woo! That is totally powerful. I love that, Tony. Woo! Yeah. We sit in the comfort zone. We like our demons. We like our friends too much and too often. But guess what? God wants to get rid of those friends and get some new friends.
That's right.
That's exactly what he wants. Ooh. Aaron Michaels. There's Aaron. Hey. He says Backstreet Boys. LOL. And he's commenting on Tony's powerful comment as well, that we like our demons too much. He says, all right. Yeah. Wow, a lot of powerful stuff here. Definitely, you know, when somebody's, and here we go into what we've westernized in Christianity, I often think of when David would cry out to the Lord. That's not just like a word that's used in the Bible to kind of describe something. It explains what he was doing. It's an actual cry unto the Lord. It wasn't, oh God, I'm crying unto you because I feel bad today. It was a gut-wrenching, heartfelt, bottom of the soul, entire spirit in the body, just gut-wrenching cry. And if we saw somebody in a church today truly cry out for the Lord, I think it would kind of scare us a little bit. You know, and that's why I believe the intensity of the song that you have, it matches, it aligns perfectly with the message because it's a heart cry. Aaron says, "What's up?" And also, too, something different about this. We've got some growls and distorted vocals in there. Now, who did the growls and distorted vocals? That was Jermaine. I did not know you had that in you.
I've been learning, man. Been learning.
What are you trying to illustrate in the song with the distorted vocals?
Okay, so what I'm trying to illustrate in the first of all, shout out to Chuck Hutchison for the idea, because I wish I was the one who came up with the idea first, but he was the one who actually came up with the idea. So the distorted vocal thing that was happening in the midst of the scream, it kind of represents the inner cry, the inside cry of what we normally like go through. You know, there's always a battle, man. There's a battle. We constantly battle the flesh and the spirit. Flesh and spirit are constantly battling each other. And that just represents that inward cry. That's inside.
Yeah. Simply put. Very, very well put. Very well put. Aaron says, I wanted to do the scream, but Sexy Beast said I wasn't good enough.
Oh my goodness.
Jermaine has many nicknames, including Bubbles and Sexy Beast. If you ever go order coffee with Jermaine, he will tell them that's his name, so they'll put it on the cup and call it out.
He will. He'll do it.
That's a true
statement. Real quick, my wife is needing me right now. She's actually in the middle of nowhere, no power or anything like that. So I got to go help her out real quick.
Rod, thank you for joining us. It's been good to have you on tonight.
I appreciate it. Sorry to do this, but I got to go help
Not
her out.
Not a problem. Duty calls. Right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all. See y'all soon.
Love you, bro.
Bless you, brother.
Love you, buddy.
See ya.
Yeah, and I really wanted to highlight those distorted vocals because a lot of times, you know, if we had just the church lady listening to it at church, she'd be like, "Oh no, he's got demons." But it's an it's an inner cry, and we could go a whole nother edition about distorted vocals and really what it's a paintbrush in music is what it is. It's not always demon. In some cases, it is. But not always. And in this case, it represents the heart cry and represents the intensity of what's going on the inside of a person. Hey, you guys, the ones that are still on screen with me, and Rob is the newest addition, but you guys have been part of the Lithos fam since 2021, not just as a guest on Raven's Heart and not just as Jermaine as the occasional co-host that comes on quite frequently to do some pretty jam up shows, but you've been on stage at Get Revelation Rock Fest. But man, I got to tell you what, this past year, it appears that God has opened a lot of doors and opportunities for you. It's like you're on the accelerated ride now. It's kind of like you've been going up the roller coaster and now you're screaming down and accelerating through all these things. What are some of the doors that God has opened up for you this year and the opportunities that you have had?
What's the biggest door, guys? We were signed. Resurrection Records was the biggest door, man. That was the craziest one.
That was the big one.
I would say, like, as far as Resurrection, the coolest part about that is when Aaron reached out to us, he literally reached out to us Christmas Eve morning. And what was funny about him reaching out that day specifically is literally like probably a couple days prior. Matter of fact, I think we even had a conversation about it, Glenn, like a week or two ago. We got off into some random tangent and I talked to you about like labels and stuff like that. Just because of some stuff we had noticed or saw in amongst other labels. And I was just thinking like a couple days prior, I was like, Lord, I was like, I don't know if you want me to start a label or if we're going to be on a label, but if we're going to be on a label, Lord, I need X, Y, and Z to happen for us because I know that, I think an independent label would be the best label for us. And this is the reason why, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, Lord, if you want me to start a label, here's what I need you to do, blah, 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 blah. And then Aaron reaches out Christmas Eve morning. And I was like, Aaron Hobbs. I was like, what the heck's Aaron Michaels hit me up about? And so I read the message. I did the pull down screen thing so he didn't see my bubble answer. Read the message. And I was like, dude, what the heck? I told Charles. Charles was at church. We were at church that morning. And I was like, Charles, Aaron Michaels just reached out to me, bro, about signing up for the label. But the crazy part is Aaron had told me like he had already been praying and fasting for several months about the whole entire thing. And he was like, all right, Lord, if you want me to really do this, then tell me what artists to sign. And he was telling us, he's like, just instantly in his spirit, Tricord was one of the first bands that he told to sign. And it was so funny, too, because we kept seeing Aaron Michaels like liking all our stuff and commenting. What's so big time Aaron Michaels doing liking and commenting on our stuff? We were kind of tickled. We were like, freaking Aaron Michaels is huge, man. What is going on? And so when he reached out, I was like, dude, this is crazy. But literally, what's wild is every single thing that we talked about in our conversation, we were on the phone with him for like 2 hours. Everything Wow. We talked about in the conversation, man, it was just on point with what I had been talking to the Lord about. And so like Charles and I were like, we'll catch Corey up later, but I'm sure he'll be a yes too. We were already saying yes before we got off the phone, man, because we just knew. And man, when I tell you that literally the attacks that have been happening, and the reason why I was telling you before we went live, you know, about some of the attacks that are going on in my own personal life, I am excited because it lets me know that I am on the right path. Yes. We are supposed to be on this label. We are supposed to be doing this doggone thing called Tricord, and we're supposed to be making the music that we're making. It excites me, man. I'm excited. It's huge, man. And then, like Tony said, the next big thing was Rocking the River. Rocking the River was dope. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I had to take it off. Okay, one of y'all talk about how cool it was that we got on Rockin' the River. It was last minute, man. It was so cool. But the opportunities that came from it were wild, man.
Oh, man. Rockin' the River was a totally different experience. A lot of great artists, a lot of worship, a lot of people from different walks. It was just a whole different aura around that whole, we'll call it a camp. But that entire day going into that night, we just, there were so many encounters and movements. And just seeing the impact that each group made on the people that were there at the moment. I mean, there's people that stayed all day, and then there's people that came and went throughout the day. But just to feel the presence of God that was there and to be able to be a part of it was just beyond anything we could ever ask for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, get Revelation Rock Fest.
Oh, yeah. can't forget about that. That's right. We had – you guys were with us for two out of the three years that we had been – doing Get Revelation Rock Fest and having you on stage. And Get Revelation Rockfest that we did in Charleston last year was Tricord and then Jermaine and every other band that was on stage. Jermaine and Red Letter Rising, Jermaine and The Last Trumpet, and Jermaine and you were up there.
You gotta remember, Zig, I was with Ziggy. Yeah, man, I was up on stage like 4 or 5 times.
You were. It was the Jermaine show.
It was Bubble Fest.
No, it's been an honor to have you guys when we were down in Charleston doing Get Revelation Rock Fest, and that will come back someday in the future. Right now, God's got me focusing on this, on the live stream, and building building the live stream out a little bit more and focusing on some certain things. And when the time is right, the time will be right. And we can't have a Get Revelation Rock Fest without Tricord there.
Oh,
because Jermaine fills in for all the other band members that are missing in the other band. So that's just the way it goes, you know? Yeah. Tony Marks made a very interesting comment that I want to go back to you. He said in October that big things were coming. You guys, he respelled it again, carry a great anointing with you. And that's one of the reasons why I enjoy having you on the show, why I enjoy having Jermaine co-host different shows with me, and why I have enjoyed having you on stage at Get Revelation Rock Fest. With all these doors that are opening and you being on the acceleration train right now, before we close out, what has changed in your walks with Jesus that have brought you to this point? Because you guys aren't full-time musicians. You know, you all have jobs. You're all, you know, got families. You got all this other stuff going on. But here God is bringing you and raising you up to a whole new level. It's not like you're trying to do something. You're just being vessels. You're just doing your thing. What has changed about your walks with Jesus that you believe have contributed to this acceleration?
I think I can answer part of that, and the guys probably can answer a different part.
Hunger.
I would say, Charles, would you say probably almost 2 years? I felt like you scared me. I felt like the Lord was telling us that He will not allow us to progress until until certain things were worked in us and worked out of us. So it's been a lot of pruning, and I believe that God has been pruning us, and it's kind of like this. I always use this analogy of a little kid, and because Corey and I, well, all three of us now Charles too, we have little kids. We're not going to allow our little kids to drive our vehicles. There's teaching that has to happen. There's discipline that has to happen. Here's a little taste. Let's see what you can do with the little taste. Mm. Okay, good job. All right, so now let's go back to teaching. Let's go back to pruning. And then here's some more of a taste. Okay, you've gotten better. Good. Let's go back to the cycle repeats until we're driving on our own, until our children know how to drive on their own without any assistance from us. And so God's the same way. God's not going to allow us to step into a season or to something that we're not ready for. So there's pruning that has to happen. There's teaching that has to happen. He's trying to pull things out of us that he needs to. Just like for me personally, one of the things that God has been teaching me, just to be very, very vulnerable, is he told me that there's going to be a lot of women that we're going to minister to. So I need to get past some things in my life from years of pornography and years of women issues that I had, and be healed in those areas so that I could be a father figure, a big brother, and a good friend for women, so women can be healed. The Lord is already opening opportunities for me to minister to certain women. I've had in the last probably month and a half, I've encountered at least 6 different women or young girls where the Lord led me to go to them and apologize on behalf of men that have hurt them. and wow. and to love them and tell them that I love them, and I don't want to advance them in a sexual way, or that I love them as a big brother or love them as a father figure and all. And it's yeah. it's called healing in those women or young ladies' lives and stuff. So it's just that whole entire process of learning, pruning. Here's a little taste. And one thing I also said, promised God a couple of years ago, is I told the Lord that if you give us great success in secular or sacred avenues, that I will make sure, no matter without a shadow of a doubt, that we will honor you with our whole lives and with every part of us and stuff. And he's given us little taste, and we've done it every single time. We've kept our word and we've kept our promise. And I think, honestly, that's why he's just opening doors for us. And of course, we got a big season this year. Literally, almost the whole entire summer, we're on the road, and but even still, there's gonna be he's given us a little taste of even that, and we still got to go back to learning and growing and pruning, and then he'll give us some more of a taste. And I believe that's just how it's gonna go for us.
That just ministered to me, Jermaine. You put it so clearly on how the process works and why, you know, the things that the ingredients to be walking in the will of God. And Charles, you said something, you said one word just a few seconds ago, and I want you to expound upon it before we close. You said hunger. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, as we grow as a man, and we definitely see how much this is working for us through the books. Nothing we can do with our hands can expedite how we progress further as a band or anything like that. It's all through faith and just that if we continue to follow his will, we'll continue to be blessed to be used to operate for his kingdom, to be the light into the kingdom he's called us to be. The reason I spoke hunger was because with each, kind of like Jermaine said, it's like if you were out in the wilderness and you hadn't ate for days and you stumble across a breadcrumb and then another breadcrumb, you're going to continue to look for breadcrumbs, but there's a whole loaf out there somewhere. Mm. At the end of the day, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. If we continue to chase, we'll only be satisfied momentarily.
Yeah.
If we do our part and we know we're doing what we're supposed to, we're going to smell that fresh loaf.
Yeah.
The Lord has already blessed us in so many different avenues. I mean, we won't play to events to really big sign bands and stuff. And it's not all about, you know, with who, how many bands, that it's the life, it's the souls we get to reach out to. Okay, we're giving you the ingredients to a better life for yourself.
Yep. Oh man, bummer. We just lost Charles. He's got a bad connection. He was just saying was so profound about when you start eating breadcrumbs, there's a whole loaf out there, and you become hungry for the full loaf. And really, that is such an analogy, because the Word of God is the bread of life, and Jesus himself is the bread of life. And it'll start with those crumbs. I want to close with this before we leave out tonight, and this is for all of you, and Corey, especially for you. There is an anointing on all of you to preach the Word, to preach the gospel. You're gifted musicians, but I am starting to see a gifting to preach. And Corey, I want to say this to you, I encourage you in this again. When you preach, it's going to come to a point when you get up and you start preaching the Word of God in such eloquence and such profound revelation that people are going to say to themselves, and they're going to say among each other, where did this guy come from? He speaks with such authority, and you will eventually be walking in that authority, Corey. I really believe that. Started to see that this evening. We've got Charles back with us. Charles, unfortunately, we're going to have to close. Thank you, but I was just saying you all have a gifting to preach and just want to encourage you in that. So any opportunities that you have to preach, in addition to sharing some really banging music, yeah, go for it. Go for it. Hey, everybody, we got to close out. It is just a little bit past the top of the hour. We will be back next week live. I'm going to keep next week's guest a mystery. You'll find out around Sunday or Monday. We'll do it that way. But we'll be back next week live. And until then, everybody, peace out and rock on.
Love everybody.
Lithoscry.com.
Yo, Glenn.